You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Direct from 95BFM, it's Friday Live.
Thanks to McLeod's Brewery.
It is indeed time for Friday Live, and we have a Arthur Arbez in the studio inspecting the McLeod's can.
Yeah, I've got the Cove Unfiltered Pale Ale.
How do you feel about it? Oh, it's good berry.
It's well balanced. It's got a nice little kiss on the tongue there.
A little kiss on the tongue. I'm so excited to have you in the studio because I've been listening to the new album, which dropped last week.
Yeah.
All week, and we're talking about it beforehand, but trying to explain the sound of this to someone. Like, your press release, I read it, and I was like, that's exactly it. But that's a lot of words. How do you describe that sound?
It's funny with the press release and a lot of the press around it, because I wrote most.
Did you write?
I wrote all of it.
Yeah.
And then it's funny when I see the album get mentioned and online and things like that. I'm like, man, they've just basically taken what I put and put it out there. Like, but you would think reading the website that they'd wrote it.
Do you prefer it being your own words?
Well, now that I know that a lot of them do that, I'm like, oh, great. Then I've got way more control than I thought I did.
100%.
It's funny because I have a lot of fun with it. You know, I take the whole thing not extremely seriously, but seriously enough that it's entertaining for whoever's reading it, you know, to get a laugh, but then also get some insight into the weirdness that is Arthur Arbez.
That's amazing. I think it, like everything surrounding your music as well all plays into it and is like...
Yeah,
so based in it. My first question upon listening to the album was like, how many cowboy movies did you watch growing up? Because
I just love cowboys, man. There's something like, I didn't watch a whole lot, but I guess I watched enough that it made an impact on me. I just thought they were the coolest.
They are. My dad's a big cowboy fan. Yeah. He's a big Clint Eastwood fan.
I just like the look, you know, and the romanticism with it and the grittiness and stuff. And I always enjoyed the romantic idea of sitting around a fire out in the desert somewhere, you know, after you've done a day of ranching or whatever, and you're just playing your guitar and things like that, singing songs, folksy, you know, down to earth kind of stuff. But then the songs are always, you know, real.
They're so real. They're so real. It's really nice because you strike that balance. You draw from these kind of older musical histories, but then it also feels very contemporary. Like, it doesn't feel like you're trying to do that. It's like you're doing.
Yeah,
you
it can't be helped. Here. It can't be helped. I mean, it's always going to sound modern to a degree, but I like all the songs are inspired from music that I listen to, like anybody who writes music. So that represents the well of inspiration. This album represents the well of inspiration that's particular to me. And what I wanted to and like all that music that I love, I wanted to represent it and take it and like give thanks to it by writing songs influenced by it, and then give it to people so they could hear my music and see where I'm coming from, and then look at my influences and find all the music that I love.
Yeah,
it's all about just paying it back, paying it forward, and joining in the great creative cesspool. Cesspool's probably not the right word, but
I know what you mean.
Joining in that massive that massive
primordial
well.
Swirl.
That massive cultural stew.
Adding your own little spice, a little bit of seasoning.
Yeah, because I mean, like, when I write songs, a lot of them I don't know how I do it. I'm just a vessel. It kind of comes in either really quickly, or like I grind at it for ages. There's something in like a little idea that I get that I'm in love with, and I'm like, I really think that's special, you know?
Damn.
And then eventually a song will come out, I'll jam with my band or my friends, and then something will happen. I'll be like, yeah, there's definitely something there. Mm. Maybe it's ready, maybe it's not. But all the stuff on this album I've been playing since 2016, maybe a little bit longer. Sister's really old. Sister, I was playing with my second man, Superbird. So yeah, a lot of this material has really, really been around for a while. I've toured it for ages, and that's why it sounds so well refined. But also, it's kind of fresh because we're really good at just kind of improvising and changing it up a little bit. And all the songs recorded on the album were done in that kind of way. We just kind of went into the studio, plugged in, and just jammed a whole bunch of the material, and then looked back and be like, hey, where's the goodness? And took that and then sculpted it, covered it down, and that's what you get.
It's a beautiful process. It's almost like an actual writing process. But now that you say that, that makes so much sense, because I was going to ask about the recording process. It sounds like live recordings almost.
They basically, 7 of the 10 tracks were, all the basically the main tracks were tracked live with the band. And then I added vocals on top and some percussion and stuff like that. But the most of it, the bones of it, like Cool Water and Sister and Take It Easy and Late Night, they're all like all the band in there just playing the songs.
Yep.
And then my producer just worked his magic to tighten it all up, you know.
Yeah, I do want to actually talk about your band because it's a very special band. It's the Flying the Flaming Ibis.
Flaming.
What was it like bringing them together?
So Hamish, who plays bass, I've been playing with him since my very early days. He played on my first record, Gold, and then Joe, it was just like fortuitously, I put out an ad online. I was looking for somebody to start a band, and then he was like the only person who responded, but was the perfect person, you know.
Yeah,
and he
yeah,
just
yeah.
moved up and had like done some great music of his own. So he was really cool to have on board. And then Ryan had always he'd always kind of hopped in and out of playing in the band, just doing percussion, like when somebody wasn't available. So then he was an obvious choice. Shay, again, I've been playing with him since not as long as Hamish, but a little bit longer in a previous band called Superbird. So I don't know. And it was just like this collection of musicians together with myself and my songs. We just managed to, when like jamming in my cottage, we would just have these amazing moments, which I hadn't had with a whole group of musicians together. Yeah. Collectively, I've had it with people. Yep. Jamming with individuals, but I hadn't really had it as a whole band. We're like, we'd just all of a sudden get taken on some crazy trajectory. And like playing a song we hadn't played before, like I don't know, I'd play a chord and then all of a sudden a song would come out of nowhere. And I've got a few examples of that. I've recorded them and I've listened back to them and be like, holy shit, I don't even know how I could do that solo.
Yeah.
I've tried, haven't been able to do it. And it's just like spontaneous, creative, the Holy Spirit come down on us or something, you know. And so that's why I really wanted to make this album to reflect like what we had and also pay tribute to the guys who had, I've been playing with me for so long, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to put them on the cover and make sure people are aware, like, I couldn't have done this without them, you know. They're all...
That's really special.
Pivotal to this record and really special.
Yeah, I do want to actually talk about the release, the vinyl release, in a little bit, but I want to talk about, you said at cottage, you guys are recording in your house?
Yeah, so my first two albums I did in my cottage. A bit of this, I did some tracking in my cottage in Mount Eden. I had this like cool little stone wall cottage out the back of my main flat that
Groovy.
I moved into. It was an awesome place, and we'd band practice there and stuff, and the walls were like, you know, half a meter to a meter thick, you know.
Perfect,
so the neighbors
yeah.
didn't really seem to mind. It was the perfect pad. It was hard to let it go actually, but we did most of the recording at Parachute Studios with
Groovy.
Joe Farris, who was a guy I met at Roundhead during a producer's like session. There was like some international producers come over and they'd have us in and we'd learn a bunch from them, and I met Joe Farris there. And then I was going overseas and I was like, shit, I really need to record my band. I should have done it by now, but control thing, was too scared to go into a studio. But then I was like, fuck it, I gotta do it. And then Joe, I thought, he'll be good. Met up with him, booked a session, and
yep.
like he just happened to be the perfect person to do it with, because he was like technically so good, so like freaking talented, and also just like such a chill, happy, congenial guy, like just made everything real smooth, like
yeah,
can do guy, you know.
Yeah,
like and knew what I wanted, and he would he would satisfy me my demands, you know what I mean.
It's important to have that in the creative process.
I'd recorded a few times before, like Roundhead and stuff, but it just wasn't like it was just like an engineer behind a desk recording me, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I had this kind of cool rapport with Joe, like I did with Joe, where I could kind of tell him what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then he knew, like he'd listen to the music and he knew how to handle it, you know.
I guess environment is so important for creative processes. Do you think that there's like certain ingredients that you point to that you're like, I need this in the environment I'm creating in to make it that space
yeah.
I can do?
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of it's not tangible stuff. It's just like I need everybody to be kind of relaxed. I need like the lighting to be good. I need like my guitar amps to sound right, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, sometimes it's out of your control. You never get it 100% to what you want. But then generally, if you just start playing the music and you're being honest with how you're playing your instrument and how you're feeling, and you're being real, and everybody else is kind of like, you know, everybody's working well together as a unit, it'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen to some degree. And then and then you get to capture an authentic moment, and that's what it's all about, you know, is capturing those authentic moments and like trying to capture spontaneity and like creative mistakes I'm a big fan of like hitting accidental notes, but then they end up sounding great, you know, all these things like that. Like, there's a few accidents throughout the album, but if I took them out, it wouldn't be the same.
You're so right.
That's a big part of it for me personally, I think my music.
That's why I gravitate towards this record in particular so strongly, because you're right, it does feel like that. It feels like there's these little moments where it's like, yeah, the live recording thing. Like, when you go and see a band live, I love to see someone hit it like a bum note and then you keep going.
Yeah, because you're
like, that would never happen usually. Like, that's a little moment right there that we get to witness together, which is really beautiful. We're actually coming up on 6, and I want the people to hear you play through. Would you be able to stay past the news to play?
I can do whatever you want.
That's so much fun. I'm loving hanging with you. Speaking about those influences in the creative cesspool, we love the creative cesspool. Do you want to play a song? Should we listen to a song? Or like maybe like a song that influenced you, and then you can play one of your songs later?
Yeah, that sounds good. For a song that influenced
let me pull it up.
That's a good one. You could do shit. Put me on the spot now.
This is what being a radio DJ is always like. You know, what do we play next? Every song is on my head.
You could play Neil Young, Bite the Bullet, if you have that.
Say less.
Because that... It was a partial inspiration for the song Reckless. There was like some guitar chord changes in that, which I took inspiration from.
Yeah. We love that.
Yeah, go for it.
This is Neil Young, Bite the Bullet. That was Bite the Bullet. I love that little bit in there. It's just like, you think it's over? Nah. Yeah. That was so cool. And you've been running. Which song did you say that kind of influenced?
That was, there was some of that influenced the song Reckless.
Groovy.
Yeah.
Very groovy. This vinyl pressing, because you've got one of your beautiful vinyls.
Yeah, I have it here. Yeah. We can give it away if any listener out there wants to have a signed copy of my record.
If anyone wants a signed copy, do you want to sign it now? Should we do it? Should we be corny like that?
Or do we want to wait till who wins it and then I can sign it with her name?
That's actually, this is why you're the
artist.
Something
like that, you know.
Creative. If you want to win the Arthur Arbez vinyl signed copy with your name on it.
Yeah.
Because when does that happen? What should name, B card number, and your favorite
Arbez track.
Favorite Arbez track, is that simple? I'm so down for that. We're gonna head into a little bit of news for a minute, but in the meantime, we do have a prize to give away, and I'm gonna give that prize away first. This is the double pass to the Outlier Festival, which will be very groovy. Hold the phone, caller. It's about to happen. Oh, we'll come back to that. In the meantime, let's talk some more about this vinyl pressing. Where did you get these pressed?
This pressed in New Zealand with the fine outfit called Holiday Records.
We love them.
They were a pleasure to work with. Very responsible in the emails, I'll tell you that. but I pressed two vinyl records before, and this one I made certain to get it. The guy who actually digitally mastered the album, he cut the vinyl masters as well.
True.
Which is like,
that's crazy.
He has like a template. He's got like a stamper, at his mastering facility. So he makes like an ace tape. I think it's an ace tape. And then he checks it. And then he sends that to me. And I'm like, that sounds great. And then he liaises with Holiday. And they send it off to a place in Sheffield, I think, in the UK. And then they make they stamp it to like this metal, aluminum or something disc. And then that's the master.
That's
the
wild.
Stamper that they press it all. So usually Holiday would make the master cut, but I had my mastering engineer do it because he was a fucking genius and a pro, and it like sounds so good.
Who was your engineer?
Scott Hull, who mastered disc in New York. So he's quite a big boy, but he was worth the penny.
They always are.
Yeah, man, and like I kind of think it sounds better than the digital actually. To be honest.
Damn. I mean, that's what everyone says. Vinyl always sounds better.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not like I did A/B tested at home and it actually sounds, it's just like a little groovy. Bit of a sonic difference. And I was like, oh man, that's like nice to know, like it sounds different, but it still sounds like just as good. But then is it better?
Yeah. Well, if you want to win that vinyl signed with your name, your B card number, and your favorite Arthur Arbez song to 5395. In the meantime, a little bit of news.
What's good, y'all? This is Questlove representing The Roots, and right about now, you're listening to 95 BFM.
We aren't Questlove, but we are Nick and Arthur Arbez here in the studio. And I believe it's time for some music, if you're keen, my friend.
Yeah, sure. I brought my crusty guitar.
I think it's a beautiful guitar, personally.
It's a beauty. I bought it off eBay.
We love eBay.
Yeah, man.
It's an OG.
eBay's good. It arrived in just like this real beat-up old case. which I then gave away with a guitar that I sold. I don't have it anymore, but it was quite cool to see. Alright, I'll just do I Dig It All.
I got love and will, but no solution. Grew claw lambs and a mighty ocean. Potato and greens, I plow the earth. Mr. Farmer, won't you show me your worth? I dig it all. I dig it all right now. Platitudinous prayer and a rosary law. I make my wish to heaven, yeah, I haven't forgot.
He's got a cruel hand, pragmatic guy. Climbs a blood red castle flying up through the sky. I dig it all. I dig it all right now. Right now. Come on, mama, mama, 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 come on. Your mind, I don't care about the things you'll find. I got a working routine like the many of you. I take amphetamines before the day is through. I want it all. I want it all right now. Right now.
That was sick. What did you say the name? I Dig It All.
I Dig It All. That's off a little EP I did with my friend Dave.
We love that tune. It's such a good tune. If you're just tuning in here to 95 BFM Drive, we got Arthur Ibers in the studio.
And we got a record to give away. We got a record to give away. Text in your knee, your favorite Ibers song.
5395. 5395, your name, your B card number, and your favorite Arthur Ibers song. And you could win a personalized.
Personalized.
Signed copy.
I'll make the message extremely personal. I just need.
Extremely personal?
Need to know.
You can like pull out your diary and be like, that passage there is the one.
Yeah.
That's groovy. What else are you going to play for us, friend? What else you got?
I'm going to do a song by P.F. Sloan.
We love a cover.
It's called Sins of the Family. And I'm doing. P.F. Sloan wrote it, and then it was recorded on a 1966 album, I believe, by Barry McGuire. And I love Arthur Barry. And Barry also inspired, like, his vocal style. It's like really gruff. Like, you just imagine like a guy who's really good with an axe.
Yeah, yeah. I love that description.
Chopping down trees and stuff. But he was a folk singer in the 60s.
I just want to paint the picture for people who are listening. Well, obviously no one's seeing what I'm seeing right now, but Arthur has a guitar in his lap and a harmonica and a holder around his neck.
Yeah, so this is
so sick.
I'm still perfecting the vocal aesthetics of the song, so you might hear my voice do a few different things. But here we go. Bad childhood when she was very young, so don't judge her too badly. She had a schizophrenic mother who worked in the gutter and would have sold herself to the devil gladly. Oh, what a sad environment, a bug-ridden tenement. And when they couldn't pay the rent, it's 'cause the father was out getting liquor. Ah, the stone's been cast and blood is thicker than water. And the sins of the family fall on the daughter. Yeah, the sins of the family fall on the daughter. By the age of 16,
She had been around more than any girl over 30. And those high IQs who condemned her knew she's a product of poor heredity. Well, it's a fictitious fact when you fall on your back. You can backtrack failure with exception without inspection. And the sins of the family fall on the daughter. Yeah, the sins of the family fall on the daughter. Well, the devil is open to all of us. Heaven selects a precious few. But it'll take some inside bull to get Gabriel to make an angel out of you. Well, one can't live a lie and then expect to die. With your soul in paradise, you know you gotta play the price like you oughta.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I think that might be the first ever harmonica we've had, as long as I've been here.
Really?
I'm so gassed. I love the harmonica.
I've recently just decided how much fun it is.
How long did it take you to master the harmonica, though?
I haven't by no means mastered it yet, but I've been playing it since, I don't know, I put my first one when I was probably like 19.
Damn.
Yeah. Just because Neil Young played it. And then my friend Michael, he was onto it first because he was a huge Neil Young fanatic. So he got me into Neil, and then I got one, and just on and off I've just played it through. And recently I've just decided to start playing it a lot more.
Cause that's so groovy.
It's fun, especially when playing solo, because then you can just riff.
Yeah, know, yeah, 100%.
A little bit.
That's beautiful. We'll go to a little quick ad break, but when we come back, you got one more song for us?
Yeah, sure.
Groovy. Keep it on the beat. Oh, if you want to win the Arthur Arbiz vinyl, 5395, your name and your B card number, your favorite song. Get in quick, team.
Arbiz song.
Favorite Arbiz song. Yeah, sorry. Well,
any old song will do, but Arbiz one specifically.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best, right? Yeah.
Frontier Touring and 95 BFM present the iconic Jack White playing Auckland Town Hall with his superb band on December 17th. Songs from his distinguished solo career, plus anthems from The White Stripes, The Raconteurs, and The Dead Weather. Jack White at the Auckland Town Hall. Tickets on sale Friday, November 22nd from Ticketmaster.
Witness the majestic Big Sur as they celebrate their debut EP, Black Mountain, at Nice Goblins, Saturday, November 16. Allow the alternative folk collective Big Sur to take you on a journey with their wandering melodies and moving storytelling, with support from Greta O'Leary, Green Grove, and Group Chat. Big Sur, live at Nice Goblins, Saturday, November 16. Tickets from Under the Radar.
The original originator. Go to 95bfm.com for show podcasts.
95BFM is thrilled to present the energetic and expressive Bob Mould for a solo electric tour at the Power Station Saturday, November 23. playing live in New Zealand for the first time in 20 years, the legendary Husker Du and Sugar founder will perform a plethora of material from across his entire career. Bob Mould, live at the Power Station, Saturday, November 23. Tickets from plusone.co.nz.
Hey guys, any plans? Today's another scorcher.
Not a cloud in the sky. You know what that means.
No more mowing! Our lawn looks like Dave after he comes back from the barbers up the road.
Well, you liked my haircut.
Well, what am I supposed to do on a day like this?
I know a spot where they've got something for everyone. Even you, Dave.
All right, count me in.
Guys, what's wrong with my haircut?
Find the best selection at The Beer Spot. With 40 delicious beersies on tap and 6 locations Auckland-wide, The Beer Spot is your tappy place. For opening hours and to find out more, head to thebeerspot.co.nz.
Mixtape was sad. She saw shows with specific themes and thought, who am I? Then one day she realised that she'd been lovingly crafted by her father Sam for a greater purpose, to guide people into their Sunday the right way. She would fulfil her mission, no matter the cost. The Sunday Mixtape. Expect the latest drops, the deepest cuts, and everything in between. The Sunday Mixtape with your host Sam. Sundays 9 till 10 a.m. right here on 95BFM.
Welcome back to 95BFM. We're here in the studio with Arthur Ebers. About to play us one more song, which we're very excited for. What's the name of this last track?
This is called High Speed. It's a song I wrote about my little boy. And I usually play it with a capo, but I lost my capo, so it's going to be in standard tuning.
Come on. I know you got what I need. Get up in my body to be every little waiting to be. I've had enough. Had enough. I want to crawl on my hands. I don't.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. So good. And you wrote that for your little boy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a little rock and roll song. The lyrics are just kind of like about being a baby or a toddler and like being a tyrant. wanting what you want, wanting it now, and then just being like the stimulus of the world and everything, you know.
I've got a little nephew and he's reached that age now and it's scary.
It's very scary. But they learn also no. The ultimate adventure.
Yeah, 100%. You learn the word no and it's over for all of us. No. We got to wrap up here. Text them 5395 if you want that vinyl, let us know. Otherwise, we'll give it away next week. But we only have Arthur here right now. So if you want your name on it, 5395, your name, your B card number. And it needs to be a valid B card number. That's the go. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, friend.
Thanks. It's always fun to come here.
Last thing is, where can we see you live?
So I'm doing The Other's Way on the 30th. We're playing 7:30 at Galatos. So nice and early. Come check us out. Galatos Basement, 7:30, 30th November, Other's Way, Arthur Abiz, and my band. Not the Flaming Ivies, but another group of great kids.
Groovy. Catch them there.
Wow. Cheers.
Friday Live on 95BFM.
Thanks to McLeod's Brewery.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.